You're listening to Wheelationships.
This class is about, for those, good to see they're finally going to class. If you're new with us this morning, or maybe you came in the last couple weeks, this class is called Wheelationships, and I'll remind everybody, the premise of this class is that we're built for relationship. We're built for relationship with God. We're built for relationship with each other. That's our primary purpose. We were made for Him. We were made for God, and it's because of Him we exist. It's to Him that we exist. And He also said it's not good for us to be alone. So He put other people around us. That's why we're all here, because otherwise it would just be Adam and we wouldn't even be here. But He said it's not good for Him to be alone. It's not good for us to be alone. So life and living is tied to this idea of relationship. And you can't be a Christian and not be in relationship. You can't. Because you have to have a relationship with God. And He said, you're my body, so we also have this relationship with one another that is necessary. And that's the positive. The negative of this is that since we're not perfect, even Jim, we're not perfect, and so every relationship has some imperfection in it. And so what we end up trying to do is trying to handle that imperfection, which causes a lot of pain and a lot of blah. And so that's where we get to this class, where we talk about the blah and the stuff that causes us the imperfection. Yeah, spell that for me. Blah. So up front, we say this class is about relationship. Relationship that isn't just about me, it's about we. And in the process of looking at relationships, we discover a lot about God and who He is and what He wants for us and how He built us and how He made us and what He intends for our lives. That's kind of why we go about it this way. So 3 weeks ago, we left in the middle of this discussion. See if my remote will work. Remember that?
Yes.
On fence wars. It only lasts a couple seconds. When we try to put proper limits on our life, when we learn to say no to the bad and yes to the good, there will be certain things that crop up in every relationship, in different types of relationship, that indicate to us that we're not doing so good with those fences. Those are called fence wars. When we try to say yes and it doesn't go quite so well, or we try to say no and it doesn't go quite so well, and think that we have these little issues crop up. For instance, when you get off the phone from a conversation with your mother and suddenly you're snapping at your spouse and fussing at your children and your whole world has just been colored a really dark, dingy gray. Yeah. That's the indicator that you have a fence problem with the family you grew up with, whether it's with your mother or your father or your brother or your sister. Or perhaps you have a friend who is particularly needy. You know how this goes? That you have maybe a friend and they just always seem to be in need. And you feel sorry for them. But you also feel a little guilty because you try to avoid them, because they're always needing something. And you kind of resent their neediness just a little, which makes you feel sorry for them and guilty that you feel resentful. And so you try to avoid them, and you feel all trapped in this kind of relationship. That's an indicator that you have a little fence war going on with a non-romantic relationship. And we've talked about a couple of those things. So 3 weeks ago, we talked about the problems we have with the people we work with. And last time when we started this 3 weeks ago, I thought this was going to be a really short lesson. I thought I was going to be done way early, and you guys kept talking. And so we didn't get done. So let me review a little bit of what we said, and I'm going to allow me to help you with a couple of things that might have confused you last time when we were talking about this. As we said, we might spend as much or more time with people we work with as we do with our family, because you might spend 8, 10, 12 hours a day at your job, and so you run into these imperfections quite a bit. So if we're having fence problems on the job, it can really affect us. And so it's really important that we understand this biblical theology of work. And the biblical theology of work, remember we said that looking at God at work from God's perspective, from God's viewpoint, work is both a blessing and it's a calling. It's part of the blessing. You have there Genesis 1:28. God blessed them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, govern it, reign over the fish, the sea, the birds in the sky, all the animals that scurry along the ground. That was their work. That was part of the blessing. He blessed them and said, go to work. That's a biblical theology of work. The theology of the thinking that says work is a drag and a bore and a terrible curse, that's not really biblical. Okay? It may be there was a curse attached to work, and the curse was that it was going to be harder than it had to be because of sin that was involved. When sin came into the world, God said, okay. Your work could have been a complete blessing to you. Now there's going to be a little pain and aggravation involved. But really, what God intended was that work was part of the blessing. He also said that it's part of our calling. Colossians 3:23, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. That's what God calls us to. And I could spend, and I think I did last time, I spent a little too much time on this, but I'll tell you, I could spend a long time on this because we just tend to go to this curse part of the work thing. You know, oh, I need to get away. I need to stop working. I wish I could retire. I wish I could blah, 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 get away from it. But God intended, you know, and we enjoyed our vacation. We enjoyed being away from work for a little bit. That's good. Vacations are good. Okay? And getting to a point in life where you can step away from certain responsibilities is good. But you also know that if you sit around too much without any work, just bad things start happening to you mentally, you know, and things like that. Because God intended us to work, to have things that we enjoy to do, to produce. So, at the heart of work is God's desire to bless us by giving us purpose and direction. That's part of the calling, and I've called you to this. So you work like you're doing it for me, not for the boss or whoever, or even for the money, or for whatever you think you're working for. You're really working for me. His desire is to call us to partner with him so that we can produce things of eternal and lasting value. And that's regardless of who signs your check. Okay, I am not any more called to what I do simply because the church, my check comes from a church. I am no more called than you are. Not a bit. God has called you to a particular avenue, to a particular field, to a particular place, so that he can use you to produce eternal and lasting things. Yes. So, anyway, there are common indicators that we might have some fence issues in the workplace. So we talked about fence problems in the workplace, and the first thing is getting tagged with someone else's responsibilities. Like most fence issues, this is often because we're afraid to say no, or we feel guilty when we say no. Somebody else has a responsibility, and because they're failing at their responsibility, and they beg you, or whatever the case, they manipulate, or whatever it is, you end up taking their responsibility. Well, whose responsibility is it? It's their responsibility. However, because whatever the reason, we start picking that up. What's the fence problem? The fence problem is that we've stopped being responsible for our responsibilities, and we've stopped being responsible to our coworker, and we've started being responsible for our coworker. And anytime you start taking responsibility for someone else, you have a fence problem. So if you're constantly getting tagged with someone else's responsibilities, that's a sign that you may have a fence problem. We talked about what should I do? Well, I should reestablish what I'm responsible for. I'm responsible for my feelings. So if this makes me angry, then I'm responsible for my anger. You know, this remarkable thing about that, I had a conversation with one of our kids on vacation, and there was a little tiff going on, and she said, "Are they angry?" And I said, "I don't know. What do I do?" I said, "Do you apologize?" "Yeah, but what do I do? I don't want them to be angry." I said, "You're done. That's their anger." I said, "Just like when you're angry, that's your anger. It belongs to you. So we have to take responsibility for that. I'm responsible for that. I'm responsible for all the things I'm responsible for. I'm also responsible for my job. And if I am taking care of other responsibilities, that could negatively impact the job I do that is my responsibility. So we may feel bad, we may feel guilty about the things that we're not able to help other people with, but first of all, we have to understand that we're responsible for our responsibilities, which includes our job. We're good so far? I'm plugging along because I got a lot here. Secondly, I should act out my responsibility to my coworker. I should, you know, I shouldn't just bail on them. If I've, over time, as a standard routine, taking care of their responsibility, I shouldn't just back away and go, whoop, hope you make it. I should say, I have a responsibility to them to say, you know, I've been doing your work and I really shouldn't do your work because it's unfair to you, it's unfair to our employer. So I'm going to back away here and have a good time, you know, work that through verbally. And I should keep my emotional distance. Part of my responsibility to other people, to my coworker, they may get mad about this. You won't help me and try to manipulate and try to cajole and try to do all that. If they get angry again, that's their anger. Don't build your own anger up by trying to argue, trying to justify. Don't try to justify. Anytime you try to justify with somebody that's trying to get you to take care of their responsibility, who's trying to manipulate you, anytime you try to justify, they're going to get to a point where they can find some little loophole in there. I can't do it because of this. And you try to justify and say, well, here are my reasons. 1, 2, 3. And they'll say, oh, yeah, I understand. Oh, yeah, I understand. But couldn't you... one time, you know, there we are again. We've been argued right back into it. If they push you to explain, they're going to find a loophole that's going to help bail them out. There's a normal part of covering and bailing out for a coworker, because, you know, there's teams and you're short-staffed and there's things you got to do to get the job done. I understand, but if you're getting tagged with this on a regular basis, then there could be a fence problem. Now, having said all that, here's what I didn't say last time that may help you out. There's a variable here to consider in all of these. There's always a variable that I think goes without saying, so I didn't say it, but I'll say it now. There's a variable that's always in play. It's a variable that you and I always have to consider with all of these. And it's this. I didn't write it down. You may want to. How close is my perception to reality? How close is my perception of the situation? How closely does that match reality? Because I may be saying, oh, I'm doing this again for this person. It may really be the second time. You know, it's not something that's a habit. It's not something that's a big deal. I just don't want to do it, you know. Okay, am I really getting tagged with somebody's responsibility? How close is my perception of the truth to reality? Now, in all of these, I'm assuming, and I'm taking the standpoint that yes, this is, in fact, pretty close to the reality of the way it is. I'm getting tagged continuously with somebody else's responsibility. And if that's the case, this is what we need to do. But you always have to kind of determine that. And it's not always, you know, if it's the reality, then I need to establish what I'm responsible for. I need to act out my responsibility to my coworker. if, in fact, this is not reality, then it's not a fence problem. It's a perception reality kind of problem. And we'll talk about problems with defining reality down the road. But understand that when we talk about these problems, we're assuming that in reality or in close to reality, this is what's really happening. So another sign of having that you might be having a fence problem is when we're working too much overtime. Maybe that's that reality preface is what you needed here last time. Because let's assume that, in fact, you are working too much overtime. And you might remember last time I told a story about Dr. Cloud, who wrote the Boundaries book, and about the woman that went to work for him and was supposed to work 20 hours, and he walked in with 40 hours worth of work, and she said, second day, you've given me 40 hours of work. Which 20 hours do you want me to work? That, and Dr. Cloud confirmed that in his story, saying, in fact, that was reality. I gave her 40 hours of work. And sometimes that can happen with a boss who just doesn't think about what he's given you. Just says, here, get this done. And you look and go, oh, and you know, suddenly you're working hours and hours of overtime. It could be because of a particular situation. It could be because of, you know, and again, I'm not saying never. But there is a point where there is too much because you are an employee and you have an employer. Now, this is, we really blur the lines when you are both the employer and the employee. And you've got some fence issues you're going to have to work out about family, God, other activities you've got to be involved in. And if work starts taking too much a slice of the pie, then you have a work, you have a fence problem. So one possibility is that your boss hasn't thought through it on, and you have to sit down and say, okay, you've given me this much, I've got this much time, I simply want to do the most important stuff. And since I've got this much, I could pick this over here, but maybe you really want this. So let's determine which you want, and we'll work on that. Okay? So that's one possibility. You have a responsibility there to your employer to help them understand the reality of the situation, simply because they may be doing other things that they're concerned about, not really paying attention. So you got to help them, really help them, because you want to do the best job and you want to do the best work for them. Another possibility is that your boss doesn't respect your fences. Your boss, you know, you say, here's what you've hired me to do, and now you, instead of wanting this amount, you want this amount. Well, I'm hired to do this amount. And your boss may not respect that fence and say, well, too bad. You have to work this amount. You still have choices. The choices you may not like. One of the choices is you may end up redoing your resume. That is a choice. You may have to make some tough choices about extra education. You may have to make some tough choices about, but the choice is still your choice on how are you going to respond to this. That's where you might have to take a longer, slower, more painful approach to the problem. Because if, in the end, if your boss doesn't like the fence that you feel you're called to, that God has placed in your life, then your boss may get rid of you. That's their choice. True? So the common response is, I can't do that. I need the job. I need the money. Okay, we all understand that. Tough economy. We like to eat. I like to eat. So I like to have a job. I like to have a paycheck coming in. So I'm not telling anybody to quit their job. Okay, if you say I did, then I didn't. Okay, please don't. Especially the lady back there in the corner. I'm saying you have choices. You are not the victim. You are not a victim. You are not put in an impossible situation. You may be put in a very tough situation. You may be put in a situation that may be painful because of other people's choices that they're making. You know, part of the pain of the curse, we talked about the curse of work when it became more painful. God said there's going to be weeds, there's going to be pests, there's going to be predators that's going to make your work more painful. And it may be that in your job, when if you have a boss that doesn't respect your fences, that's just part of the weeds and the pests and the predators that make it more painful. So, but God intends, always go back to, God intends your work to bless you, and he's called you, and he hasn't called you to fail. God never calls you to fail. Ever. Now, however, you might need to prepare yourself to move on. So that's one of the things. We read an instruction last time. I put a verse up that Jesus said to his disciples. I put it up last time, and I don't think you quite understood it. So I'm going to give you the same instruction again, only I'm going to give it from Mark's Gospel. Last time we took it from Matthew's Gospel. This is the one from Mark's Gospel. It says, "But if any place refuses to welcome you or listen to you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you abandon those people to their fate." That is not a curse, you know, curse on you, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, thing that Jesus was saying to his disciples. He wasn't saying, "I want you to just..." Okay? He was saying, if they reject you here, and this is a good thing to apply, if you ever move on from a job, it's not a, well, fine, and start burning bridges. No. You're saying, "Look, I'm leaving. I'm not taking this experience with me." That's part of what he was telling the disciples here. If they reject you, move on. And don't let the least little thing, don't drag it with you. Some of what Pastor says this morning about the memories you have, okay? You can drag them with you and let them cling to your feet and let them cling to your whole body and let it color everything you do from then on. But Jesus said, "Look, just do what you're called to do. You'll go your way. They're going to go their way. And I'm not going to carry it with me." Sort of, again, what Pastor said this morning. If you fail, how many times do people fail in the present because they're still carrying bad experiences from the past? You know, my last job, my last boss, my last job, the last place I was. And they're in this new job, and they're still carrying those things from the old job. They haven't shook the dust off their feet and left that there. They're still reacting like they're there, and they're not. So let it go. You have to learn to leave the job, and otherwise you're not going to be able to meet the demands of the new job. So don't carry that with you. Learn from it. Move on. Okay, got it? Onward. Third fence problem we might have is misplaced priorities. You have to place fences around the priorities of your job. Say yes to the excellence. Yes to the good things of say yes to the vital, important tasks. You have certain things in every job, and sometimes we get our priorities misplaced because there are certain things we like about the job, and we end up doing the things that we like that feel good to us, and we may neglect some of the things that are really important about the job that we don't like so much, but they're really vital and they're crucial to the job. And so if we misplace our priorities, we have to get back to the place where we say no to the distractions, even the things that are good, that might be fun. Realize your limits. Maintain the limits. This was something Moses had to deal with. I think you have scripture there, the Moses thing. Because work's going to grow to the time you give it. It's going to fill whatever time you give it. So if you say, "Well, I got a little more work to do," of course you do. You always do. So maintain your limits. Moses had to maintain his limits. The little story there about Jethro stepping in and saying, verse 17, "This is not good." It's like, you're doing good work. Okay, great, wonderful, but it's not good because you haven't maintained your limits. and things are falling apart and people aren't really getting helped. Limits on good things keep good things good. Limits on good things keep them good. Fourth thing is difficult coworkers. That might be a fence problem. You have difficult coworkers, always causing problems. You know, not just, we talked about the responsibilities, but remember the law of power. Way back when we talked about the law of power, and the law of power says you only have the power to change yourself. You don't have power to change someone else. So if you have a difficult coworker, guess what? You're not going to change them. Not confronting them or manipulating them or blah, blah, whatever. You're not going to change them. You have the power to control your reactions. Your reactions belong to you. Your emotions belong to you. Your all those things belong to you. So difficult coworkers, you simply need to go back to the law of power. You have the power to change you. You might encounter critical attitudes. That might be part of the difficulty. Critical attitudes. You have a coworker that's always critical of your performance, always kind of, oh yeah, commonly, when we encounter critical attitudes, and this may not only be a coworker, maybe other people that are critical in your life, but we'll try to win over the other person. That's not going to happen. If you have a really critical person, probably not going to win them over. So you just kind of frustrate yourself when you try to do that. Or we can allow the criticism to provoke us to anger. We try to get back at them. Oh, yeah? Well, you're not so great either. You know, this kind of childish thing. Or we internalize it. Some people internalize it and they get down on themselves. Oh, maybe I really am bad. Maybe I really am no good. Maybe I really am blah, blah. No. Okay. That's their criticism. Keep your fences. Say no to the bad, yes to the good. Sixth thing is conflicts with authority. If you're having trouble getting along with your boss, it might be something called transference. And you just want to check this, okay? If it always seems like you and your boss are doing this, then remember, he's the boss, he's the authority. God's very clear about authority. So, but you might be having a problem with transference. It might not really be your boss. You see this a lot, especially in younger people who the boss tells you something to do and you go, oh, he's always down on me. The boss is always down on me. He never listens to my ideas. I say something wrong. And it might be, you know, does that sound like anybody? Does that sound like your dad or your mom? Maybe. And we could transfer those things where we never resolve something with dad or mom. And then we get in a job and, oh, they act the same. They act just the same way. Really? Who's acting the same way? I'm sorry. Maybe you? Maybe me? Yeah. So, if you feel, in fact, you know, if they start acting just like your dad or your mom used to, then you start getting into this childish thing. Could be a sign that you have some unresolved authority issues if you become a child on the job, or if you become overly competitive with coworkers. You know, maybe it wasn't mom or dad, maybe it was your brother or sister. You know, you start being overly competitive with your coworkers and trying to outdo them, okay? Trying to outdo somebody isn't necessarily a bad thing on the job, but when it's, you know, a chronic thing. So time to shake the dust on those things as well and move on. Seventh thing, expecting too much of your job. While your work is part of God's blessing to you and it's part of God's calling to you, the basic premise of work is an employer needs certain tasks done and they're going to give you monetary compensation to get those tasks done. That's what a job is. That's it. And some people can try to get too much out of their job. They want emotional fulfillment, and they want, you know, it all to, they want the workplace to be like a family, and we want, you know, all this kind of, all these other emotional needs that they want met from their job, forgetting that the basic premise of a job is your employer needs certain tasks done, and he expects you to fulfill them, and you'll get monetary compensation for that. So if we start expecting emotional needs to be met, which aren't part of the deal, we expect to be nurtured, we expect all kind of relationship, we expect self-esteem to flow and approval, and our boss always to come and pat us on the head and pat us on the back and say, oh, great, you got here this morning. It's wonderful to see you. You're kind of expecting too much of the job, okay? Now, most employers, smart employers know that the more of emotional encouragement and the more relationship and emotional support they give you, you might do a better job for them. So if they're smart, they'll figure that in. But if they don't, it's up to us to say, okay, I understand that. It's not primarily what the job's about. 8, taking stress home. I'll keep this short. Keep work at work, emotionally and physically. Fences here are very important. Okay. Yep. Everybody has stress on the job. There are days that I wish my commute to the house were more than 2 minutes. And there are days I will sit and do nothing for about 5 minutes just to say, okay, compress so I don't walk in the house and go, ah! Keep work at work. And 9, disliking your job. One of the biggest reasons for dissatisfaction with your job is when your field doesn't match the way God designed you. We say this in things around the church. In fact, how many of you have been to Grow 3? Okay. Grow 3 is part of our Grow series. I encourage everyone, next time it comes around in the cycle, if you haven't yet been to Grow 3, we have Grow 1, 2, 3, 4. Grow 3 is about your place in ministry. And as I've said, ministry is whatever you're engaged in to me. So the premise of that class and the premise of what we teach around here is that as the third base of discipleship, that's why it's 3, third base of discipleship, where you discover the job, the right job or jobs for you. Because God's already designed you. He's already made you. And we frustrate ourselves when we try to fit into places that God hasn't made us for. If you don't sing well, then being in the vocal ministry is not a good fit for you. But I want to sing. Well, you sound like a wounded cow, so don't. God's already made us, and it's better when we discover how he's made us. You have there? No, you don't. I have it here. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, and you know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is. So when you discover how God's made you, then you can follow along with what his calling is for your life. What are you responsible for? You're responsible for gifts, talents, desires, wants, dreams. And when you let the dreams and desires and expectations of others take control of you to put you in places where you don't really fit, then you got a problem. So in Grow 3, we call this shape. You have spiritual gifts. You have a heart or passion for certain things. You have abilities. You have a personality. And you have experiences, and all of those things make up your shape, make up part of what God's called you to be. 2 scriptures, I don't know if they're there, they're there. Take delight in the Lord, he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord, trust him, and he'll help you do everything you want to do. Take it all in, but remember, you must give an account to God for everything you do. So that's part of work and people we work with. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for how you've designed us. Lord, help us to fill the places and the calling that you've placed on our life so that we can fill your dream for our life. rather than our selfish ambition for our life. Lord, we thank you. Go with us now in your name. Amen.